You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yo, let's do another episode of The Cooligans.
You know, what a great idea.
Wow. I'm glad we agree. Okay. All right, well, that was it for us, folks.
That was a close one. What if I said no?
Oh, no.
the series finale of The Cooligans.
Imagine that's how we ended.
A nice surprise.
The audience is like, that's it?
I thought it was going to end different.
Damn.
What do you mean? Hold on. They all go to prison?
Yeah.
I don't get how this works.
You know, they're doing the, now's when they get out.
What, Seinfeld?
Yeah. Now is... Whatever they're
oh, okay, they did their bid and now.
So, but they're doing an episode. They're doing a series of episodes.
Damn, bro. Well, now
because
I know,
now they get out.
Now I know where Kramer learned that word.
Damn.
Oh, I was gonna say, are they even gonna have him back? Bro, he can't do it.
He went state pen, bro.
My man.
He went prison, not jail.
Damn, Kramer is Muslim now. Damn, bro. Yeah, everything has changed.
He was just speaking to his brothers, bro.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to The Cooligans.
It's The Cooligans, buddy.
As always, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We're back in studio after a wild weekend. I was in D.C. MLS Cup was going on. Alexis was watching the Netflix new U.S. Women's National Team series.
Under pressure.
Bim, bim, bim,
bim. I actually thought it was a documentary about my belt. You feel me?
Wow.
You can make
diamonds with that pressure, bro.
Damn. It buzz pipes only if you try real hard with this one. It was dope. It was really cool.
Yeah, I was...
I did get the distinct feeling that the documentary at first might not have been called that. And then they saw a Vlatko, that stinker Vlatko laid. And they were like, we're going to have to switch up.
Okay, yeah. We're going to get the writers in here.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have to go in a different direction.
Here's what we've already shot. What could we do with this?
Okay. We need to find a way to make this inspiring. Yeah.
Okay. Yo, should we just delete everything that doesn't involve Lynn Williams?
So that comes out when? Tomorrow or something like that?
The Thursday.
Yeah. A $1 billion goal is
tonight.
Today, it's already available.
Out. Check it out. So $1 billion goal on Paramount Plus.
Go watch Alexis's documentary debut.
Let's go.
On Paramount Plus.
I thought it'd be a documentary about me. So I'm kind of glad it's just me as a guest interview.
It's about Alexis getting out of prison and readjusting to the world.
Wait till my boy Kramer gets out.
He got some words for you.
Oh, dang, he got a lot of ideas.
So a lot going on. Yeah, I was in D.C. for...
What, just pupusas?
The pupusa.
Mambo sauce?
Easy, that's a food, everybody.
With the German fam.
His man is happily married.
So Bundesliga had an event. I mentioned it, obviously, last week. The Super Match Day Watch Party. It was dope. So they had like basically focused on two games. It was Bayern against Eintracht Frankfurt and Dortmund against RB Leipzig.
Now, the last time you and I were at an event where it was Bayern Eintracht Frankfurt is when Bayern visited Eintracht Frankfurt, and we were also visiting. We were in the stadium, and Frankfurt dusted them 5-1.
It was quite a shock. We went to go see this game. You sort of expect Bayern Munich, as you know, they win the Bundesliga all the time. They're going to just absolutely dominate.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was not the case.
But we were like, thank God we were here because this will never happen again. And then when you were in D.C. this week, what happened?
Eintracht Frankfurt wins 5-1.
Damn.
Again.
Yo, so, bet on it, bro.
Yo, if one of the Cooligans is around for that fixture, bro, you already know.
Don't say one of the Cooligans. This seems like a Christian Polanco issue.
Because was, I mean, look, we're looking at some photos of our time in Germany, in Frankfurt, for this game. And we had a great time while we were there. Me hanging out with Attila.
When I threatened Attila, okay. You know.
But Attila, we squashed the beef.
I got in trouble.
But, yes, it was, so it was wild. It was really fun. Obviously, the Bayern Munich supporters were there. And so were the Eintracht Frankfurt supporters, and just all in the same room. So in this scenario, I'm emceeing, and I'm like chatting it up and making
right. You're trying to lightly roast. So when couple bits.
When Eintracht scores their first goal, I go, guys, you're not gonna believe this, but I was in 2019. I was in Frankfurt for this exact fixture. And it was 5-1. What a crazy result. Right. We'll never see that again. And then they score 2. They score 3. And I'm like,
at what point do people be like, I think we're seeing it again?
People, at one point, I was like, yo, I'm sorry, Bayern Munich fans.
This might be believe bro.
I'm doing this to you again.
Yo. Because, am I the mush?
And then the result ended 5-1. I could not believe. When that fifth goal went in, I was just like, bro, I'm going to send a written apology to everybody who came here.
Or I'm going to send an invoice to Eintracht Frankfurt.
But it was incredible. So again, shout out to Bundesliga for putting that together. Even who was it? I think it was Derek Ray on the call of the game gave a shout out to the watch party on ESPN Plus. That was like really dope too. So it was a great time. I feel bad for the Bayern fans, but you know what? We did like giveaways. A Bayern fan won. Assigned Jamal Musiala jersey.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we did like like Bundesliga trivia of their team. So like 2 Bayern fans went head to head and versus like, oh, you know, and then like 2 Dortmund fans went head to head. And it's just like, yo, some people know way too much about Bundesliga, bro. I'm just like, bro, you got any, you got hobbies? Because
do you do your taxes? because you seem like you are 95.
I need to make sure if you ever kissed a girl, bro, because I am not sure.
Right. And a poster of a woman in lederhosen holding a beer does not count,
dog. But it was great, man. All the fans were great. So I had a great time. So shout out again to Bundesliga for the invite. I also did watch MLS Cup with the Screaming Eagles.
Very nice.
DC United supporters. Conveniently.
It's been decades since they've been in one, huh? DC United?
I remember back when we used to do it.
They're like, how come there's no run-up shootouts? It's confusing.
Very different from my day.
Like, I don't see anyone with a perm and long hair at all. This is an MLS Cup.
So that was fun. And conveniently, the Bundesliga watch party was at this place called Tom's Watch Bar, mm-hmm. and then the Screaming Eagles MLS Cup watch party was at this place called Duke's Grocery or something like that, and they were literally 40 feet from each other. It was literally right on the other side of the street.
Damn.
And I was just like, oh, bro, this is like, wow, convenient. Did y'all plan my itinerary?
Your hotel is behind it?
Bro, so it was great seeing that. Remember, we performed at Audi Field alongside Total Soccer Show. Back in that was also in 2019 or 20.
That was 20. No, that was
20?
2021.
2020, 2021. Yeah, something like that. Well, had a great time. And so it was great seeing a lot of those folks on Screaming Eagles. Let's get right into it. The Major League Soccer Cup final. Columbus
I thought this
Crew,
was really
LAFC.
Exciting. If you are a Columbus fan, you were very excited throughout this.
Right?
So, if you're an LAFC fan, you're like, did they not get on the plane?
the flares. They didn't have their flares, bro. That's what gives them their power.
Well, remember, MLS said they were going to restrict them. It was an attack. They weren't able to attack. They weren't allowed to attack.
They restricted them literally on the pitch. Yeah, on the pitch. Like, yeah. Don Garber, I think, was holding on to Carlos Vela's jersey.
He told Denny Bouanga, why don't you chill a little bit?
Okay.
Nerfed Denny Bouanga's shooting statistics for the day.
Dude, but no, I mean, congratulations, Columbus Crew. Your third MLS Cup.
Hit that again for Wilfred Nancy, bro.
Wilfred Nancy, just became
the first black head coach to ever win MLS Cup.
Which is tremendous. And then, but then also the other thing I'm realizing, and maybe this is on the media, I'll take responsibility as well. I'm watching Wilfred Nancy talk after the game, and I'm just realizing, yo, I don't hear Wilfred Nancy enough. I don't hear his. Bro. My man is so French. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, why do I not know how French this man is?
Also, why you got him trapped in Columbus? We need to hear from this man.
We need to
a French man in Columbus?
We need to hear him often.
Yes. Preferably with jazz music behind him. He's a smooth man.
There's, you know, when we were we had Julian Gressel on the show the other day, and he spoke about him in you know, and spoke glowingly about his tutelage and how the type of coach that he is. That you asked him, like, does he put your arm around your shoulder? Does he like scold people? And he's like, kind of does a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But there's something about.
But he does it all very French.
There's something even about his voice that is just.
Yeah, the way he speaks, he reminds me a little bit of Henri. And I know they got along. They were good friends. Henri actually plucked him out of the youth levels. He was coaching in the youth levels at Montreal. And was like, no, you come with me. He's like, you are coming with me. And he's like, I'm coming with you. Yes, you are coming with me.
And they're even in the way he speaks, they speak similarly.
Like the cadence.
Henri, the cadence is similar.
The cadence, the tonality.
Yes, but there's something, like Henri is...
Cool,
but also he's Henri, so he acts like...
He's boastful.
Yeah, he's a little bit... Not arrogant.
No, not exact arrogant, word. But he was like, I've done this before.
He talks like that to everybody. And Nancy doesn't really bring that same... It's more like...
Talks like that to everyone but Charlie.
More of a dad energy.
Yeah.
A French dad. Like, man, I wish I had a French dad.
Right. All right, so Thierry Henri is your biological father.
Yeah.
But he was a rebel. And the relationship didn't work out.
Right.
Wilfred Nancy is he's not your stepfather. He's a father who stepped up.
Right, my man. The you dad who stepped up, bro. Yeah. Now we know. Wilfred Nancy. We got the vibe.
Right?
And
I think that's who we have to figure out who the two of them are.
But look, this man we already saw in the post-game comments. He was speaking to Katie Witham of Apple TV. And... my man got bars, bro. Everybody, bro. He made sure.
You think a man in a puffer blazer won't have bars, bro?
You better.
I never even seen that. I've been to the North Face store many times. I never seen the puffer blazer collection.
We haven't even spoken about Ian Wright's puffer, bro. We know.
Oh yeah,
yeah, dude.
Oh, the big old puffer.
They
just keep making it bigger on the internet.
That's so funny,
bro. We don't have to bring that up. My guy look warm.
But Wilfred Nancy, I mean, and he dropped this gem that I'm sure it's going to be on a t-shirt at the Columbus crew parade.
If the Columbus crew was saved for anything, it was for this moment right here.
Let's just play it. So here goes.
We started and I told them, guys, impossible is an opinion.
Okay, the hesitation. The hesitation before it.
The delivery was flawless.
I'm going to say this right now, and I think I'm right. Wilfred Nancy is the best rapper in Columbus, Ohio.
That's it.
Right?
I don't know. I ain't going to, the double XL freshman cypher. Yo,
it's just Nancy. Him in a room. Wilfred drinking Nancy. Wine, bro.
Impossible is an opinion. All right?
Bro.
Let's hear it again, just for the vibe, bro.
Just
because
drop
it.
Pay attention to the hezzy.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
The pregnant pause, if you will.
Started, and I told them, guys, impossible is an opinion.
Bro, the hezzy?
If that is not the beginning of Drake's new album,
bro,
I don't know what will be.
If Future doesn't come on immediately after that...
the beat has to drop right there,
bro.
Because
this is what Dreams and Nightmares 2 gotta start with. Impossible is an opinion,
bro. Love this.
Y'all thought I was finished? Hold on, wait a minute.
So this is just great. Look, and this is the thing. I mean, we're making jokes about like, oh, LAFC, Columbus. This is what Apple wanted as the final, whatever.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. And this is why I was saying sort of what I don't even think we do enough is of highlighting the coaches, the managers in Major League Soccer.
I think for a long time there weren't coaches that were pushing the boundary.
Right.
You know, did you see Diego Valeri's?
Bro, my man is also a poet.
No, bro.
I didn't realize.
Tuck me in and read me a story that you wrote, Diego Valeri.
Diego Valeri, my man retired.
He's
and
pontificating.
Now my man is, you know.
Yo, another person who's pen game lethal right now,
my man,
bro.
He writes wearing an ascot.
Yeah. Okay. He's writing R&B. Wilfred Nancy dropping bars. It was beautiful the way he explained it, but even he said Tata Martino like sort of started this craze of like the all out attack. I mean, just read some of this.
I mean, this is just absolutely I will read a couple sentences from here, and it just says is this Diego Valeri's Instagram? It says
do it in a Spanish accent.
The Nazi style.
Because you know how he got that.
Those in the know. Say that soccer is about managing time, space, and outwitting. It could be.
It could be.
But one thing is to outsmart the opponent, and another is to outsmart us all.
Wow. Wilfred Nancy has puzzled Major League Soccer spectators. He has made us believe that
sounds like Puss in Boots.
You're dominating the game. Having the ball almost all the time.
Now he's morphed into Cholo.
Yeah. Cornering rival in the end.
All right, we get it.
Sounds like Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
He did one.
But the last line is crazy. Just pull that back up. Because he said.
Oh, this is the Spanish one.
Oh, this is the Spanish one, bro. He said, now it's not faith. It's certainty. We've seen your outwitting. Nancy.
That sounds like a bit of a like next year. Look over your shoulder.
I mean this in the straightest way possible. If I was standing next to you, I would have expected a kiss on the neck after that you wrote that.
Okay. So it's a beautiful thing to
see. He said, thanks for fooling us with your truth. That is wild, yo. That's wild.
He did. Diego Valeri wrote something for
Darlington Nagby. He said, when my grandkids ask me about American soccer, I will tell them about Darlington Nagby. This man pen lethal, bro.
Look at my Darlington Nagby tattoo.
Yo. It's on the head of my dick.
I covered Messi's tattoo that I had on me.
Right.
I was like, no, we're done with this man.
Bro, you good now,
the
bro.
New goat has arrived.
It's very painful.
So, Darlington Nagby wins his fourth MLS Cup. So, and he was also...
He's won everywhere he's gone.
He's very...
Come to NYC.
We need you. But he's... again, this is... I love seeing this because... it's players that have and coaches that have you know made a big commitment to Major League Soccer and are getting their flowers, and that's what we're seeing, I think, especially with Darlington Nagby.
Well, Charlie said like, oh, it feels like you know Europe missed out on him, and I think if you look early on, you would have said like, oh, he's good, but is he good enough now? It's like definitively, he's a great player. And now you wonder the same way you would have wondered about certain other careers. Like, damn, yo, how far could this man have gone? Because it's been proven now. I mean, a lot of people are saying this is the best player in MLS history.
Which is
that's a tough conversation.
I'm willing to have the debate.
I was going to say, what do you guys think? Is Darlington Nagby the best player in MLS history? I think in terms of like steward of the game, steward of the league, I think he kind of has it at this point.
Look, it's not easy to win... Four MLS Cups. It reminds me of this thing, and I'm going to go back to my UCB days when I started doing improv, and I took a class with Chris Gethard, our friend, hilarious comedian, storyteller.
I opened for him for his album.
Yeah, yeah, actor, a great, great dude. And I remember being in one of his classes, and he said, do you know Eric Tenoy? Eric Tenoy is another improviser. He was also my improv 101 teacher when I started at UCB. And Chris Gethard, this is like 5 years after I started doing improv, and he said, there's something about Eric Tenoy that when whatever improv team he's on is literally always one of the funniest teams. He is never the person that stands out, where you're like, oh, I want to go see that guy perform. But every team that he's on is always hilarious because he's such a perfect supporter and a foundation of a good improv team.
And that's who I think of. That's why I think of Darlington Nagby. He is just a guy that is just does everything right. The fundamentals.
He's a glue guy.
He's what?
A glue guy.
A glue guy.
You know what he is? He's an offensive lineman. You know those like great offensive linemen that without them, the quarterback doesn't have that extra second to make that extra pass, to make that touchdown. Never gets the shine. Never. Right. Maybe later in his career, you're like, oh man, that's two weeks he was out. That's a lot of sacks. you know what I'm talking about? It's that. That's Darlington Nagby. And now we're looking back at the breadth of his career. And now we can look back and go, oh, everywhere he's been, they've won. They've won. But before that, remember when they paid $1 million in TAM and flew him with the PJ to Atlanta?
Yeah, yeah.
We was like, that's a lot of TAM for Darlington Nagby. I'm not sure they go to win. He's not the star, right? It's Miggy. It's Joseph.
Yeah.
It's right. He's not the star. Pluck them off that team. You're like, they're not the same anymore, bro.
Without a doubt, yeah. It just shows, it's almost, it's frustrating because we have spoken highly of Darlington Nagby. But
hold on. Didn't he also, purposely, walk away from the U.S. men's national team?
Yeah, that was kind of the thing. I think he was on the team that missed the World Cup in the 2018 World Cup, but the game against Trinidad. I believe he played in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Michael Check.
Yeah. Sure. So that was one of those things where he never got the international sort of accolades and appreciation. And maybe it's because he didn't fit in the team that they were building.
He did play in that game.
Yeah.
So maybe.
But I remember him saying I don't want to be a part of this anymore.
Yeah. And maybe he just didn't want the scrutiny or something like that. I don't know.
Speaking of comedy and improv, is he maybe a self sabotager when it comes to it's a real question. I don't know why you guys laugh.
Yes, Alexis.
You guys are just impressed. I know something.
Alexis is the self sabotager on an improv team.
I am not. I'm just the guy who throws out punchlines when you're not supposed to. Oh, build the scene? How about be funny? I'm going to do stand up on my own. I don't need you people weighing me down.
So,
that's a real question. Do you think he sort of got in his own way and maybe the level of MLS, while he's always risen above it and he's an exemplary player, but maybe that level is where he was comfortable and he never really wanted to test himself beyond that?
We would have to ask him personally. I don't know. There's nothing.
Based on what we've talked about, though, would you say that that might be it?
Or no, I don't. Based on Diego Valeri's words, I do not think that. I think he's a highly respected player.
I'm also not laying on a bear skin carpet playing the violin pantless like Diego Valeri was when he wrote
that.
But
there's plenty of players that are very good or well respected that don't succeed internationally.
Yeah.
I think that's
the only thing I can think of where I'm like, now we're looking back and we're giving him such heavy accolades, and they all seem very well deserved. But now I'm looking back and thinking, what's the dent? What's the blemish? Yeah, what's the part missing that maybe we're not talking about now because we're seeing someone at the end of their career just playing, champagne football, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just absolutely, he missed two passes. I remember watching the first pass he missed, and I'm like, well, that's not like him.
Dog, everything good? Dog, you good at home?
98% passive.
You're a straight A student. Yeah, dog. This is not like you.
You late for class? I thought you slept here, bro. It was just odd to see that. Now I'm just trying to think back and say, why did we so quote-unquote miss it, you know?
It's interesting because as I think American soccer fans, we're not used to we don't have the history and culture of appreciating the is he a defensive mid? He's like an 8 or whatever. He's not really a 6, right? So we don't really have that. We know the Landon Donovans.
Yeah, he's a 6'8".
We know the Landon Donovans, the Clint Dempseys. Guys, confident, score a bunch.
We are past the era where an American sports star has to be the scorer or insane defensive.
Right.
We can have someone who's just technically
we know the guy
gifted.
Americans appreciate scorers and goalkeepers.
Yeah.
Right. We like goalkeepers. That is the we
or
know
like a guy who leaves it all out there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And Nagby is just a guy that can just can't get the ball away from him. He will always put the ball where you are not.
Yeah.
And he does
his job.
And he gets fouled a lot. He's just such a you know, high IQ.
Yeah.
Just absolutely brilliant footballer.
Americans aren't used to high IQ.
Not at all.
That's not really what we do. You feel me?
Okay. We used to low IQs and CCE.
Yeah, dog.
So, yeah, it's...
They should start a stat for him, though. From now on, we should grade other 6/8s with XDN, expected Darlington Nag.
Boom. Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay, oh, dude, he's 1.8.
Opta, get on it.
Come on, Opta.
So look, I love the praise of especially these two guys. And again, congrats to Columbus Crew. I mean, as far as what happened to LAFC, is there any... That first half was really... what Columbus Crew, that might have been the best first half of soccer that they have probably played this season.
Yeah,
they
I think the East was stronger than the West all season. Mm-hmm. And I think you saw it in a situation like this. I don't know. I don't think there is a team... Maybe Cincinnati might have caused them a little bit more fits, but actually that's East as well.
I mean, it started with the penalty, Palacios with the handball, but the lead up to the handball was just again great passing from Columbus. They looked, and then the lead up in the goal for Yeboa, the pass from Malte Amundsen was. Literally just one of the most gorgeous.
He broke all three lines.
The pass was incredible. But even if you watch the play, the lead up to the goal, the lead up just to Amundsen's pass was spectacular. Every single Columbus Crew player knew where to be, knew where to move. Everybody made a run to draw some of the defenders away to open passing lanes. It was absolutely flawless football.
Nancy ball. Bro.
Okay. It was beautiful. And then, that pass from Malte Amundsen, obviously former NYCFC player, won MLS Cup with NYCFC in 2021. And won his second. It was also an interesting thing because NYCFC let him go. And
very frustrating.
I think maybe
he was not a great defender. He's a Trent Alexander-Arnold type.
Yeah,
in a sense,
going forward.
He's really good when he moves up in space and all of a sudden people aren't used to having to defend a guy like him.
Right.
He's great. Great offensively. If you ask him to defend, it's not really his thing.
Not really that. And I think
he's the center back.
And that's the thing. He played as a one of the three center backs for Columbus, but he was a left back for NYCFC. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, he was kind of battling with Thorarinson, Goody Thorarinson. And so they shared time in that. But after Thorarinson left, Amundsen didn't really have like a lockdown for that position.
When they let him go, you knew he was of quality. Yeah. It was frustrating.
So happy that it worked out very, very well at Columbus. But he had two incredible moments. He had that pass this season and he had that goal against Atlanta, which was up for MLS Goal of the Year.
Bro.
Amundsen,
bro.
It worked out. It was a good move.
Bro, former NYCFC people are on the up. You see Andoni Iraola?
That's right.
Bro. Bournemouth going to Old Trafford? Treating it like it's Red Bull Arena, bro. Took a 3-0, said, we good?
Yeah, that was impressive. So, all right, we'll get to Premier League in a little bit. I want to talk about, but just, LA, anything else, any closing things with LAFC? Good season.
Hopefully the fan ban or whatever it is done now and whatever the restrictions are, move on.
Yeah. It was a bummer, but...
Some people in our comments were like, whatever, dude, let it go. We did something wrong. We should be punished. Like, what?
Damn,
what cop is hanging out? Yeah, sounds like 3253.
Somebody else wearing a mustache. You know, like, hey,
what's
I'm
up,
one.
Kids? Anyone doing drogas?
So wild game. So again, congrats to Columbus Crew and the homie Julian Gressel.
Yeah, did we take credit for it? I was gonna say, you come on Cooligans, you win MLS Cup. It's the Cooligans bump.
That's on LAFC for not sending anybody on the show.
Maybe you'd be lifting a trophy.
What are you gonna do? And what was another thing? LAFC, what were the finals? They lost three finals this year.
Yeah,
they were the first team.
I didn't even see that.
It was Campeones Cup.
Okay.
This, and I don't remember. CONCACAF Champions League final? Yeah, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. That's
damn.
CCL? Okay.
Yeah.
Chirundolo. Chirundolo.
Bring
that back up.
Classic.
First one ever, bro.
The Chirundolo, which happened in Germany.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Okay, let's move on to some Premier League stuff because you see me wearing the throwback Everton kit.
Bro, you saw the meme of it was the gas prices are all like $7 and something.
Yes.
And somebody said, raise it up higher, I'll grind even
yeah,
harder.
Yeah, that was
someone said Everton
Zito,
after the point deduction.
Zito tweeted that, so shout out to
Zito. Shout out to Zito, bro.
But Everton win against Chelsea Football Club at home, again, you know, at Goodison Park. And, I mean, we should – you don't even want to hear from me. You want to hear from our producer, Miguelito, diehard Chelsea
fan. I feel like it's just – what are we even talking about? What are we even talking about at this point? Every week – so here's life as a Chelsea fan right now. Every week you wake up and you're like, yo, it's not going to be that bad this week.
Yeah, I'll tell you life as a Chelsea fan.
That's life as a Chelsea fan under Todd Boehly. But I thought Everton would be the one that we had like a decent chance
that's
to beat.
A rebound.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've had a run of tough games.
Said Christian.
Get my groove back.
No, seriously, we've had a run of tough games and now we come play Everton. Okay, finally it's gonna be a little bit easier. They got the point deduction, maybe not so confident. Clearly, like you said, the point deduction has made Everton grind.
Take
harder.
More points away. We don't need them.
You wanted 12, take 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Everton have had literally one of the greatest weeks in their history.
You would be in 10th place if it wasn't for the points deduction.
You'd be ahead of Chelsea. That's the craziest thing.
We'd be right above Chelsea.
Isn't that crazy?
So Everton win three in a row. Obviously, they beat Chelsea. They beat Newcastle. And they beat Nottingham, which is
your goal differential in 3 weeks is bananas.
Three clean sheets,
and then you scored what? 1, 2, and 3, right?
1, 3, and 2. Yeah.
Damn. So you'd be 6-0 in the goal differential plus 6.
So I mean, look,
where did this Everton come from? Bro?
I mean, it's just.
By the way, your XG, if you accumulate from all three matches, is like 0.2.
Everton are you know, especially in the game against Chelsea. I mean, we can. I should have done this prior, but just when you look up the possession stats, I mean, this is. Everton had 28% possession versus 72 against Chelsea. I just want to look at the other two from the other matches just to get some sense of like, you know, this is what it's looking like right now. So what is against Nottingham possession
this is a bit more even.
No, 38-62, and against Newcastle it was. 38-62 again.
Okay, we've seen we have a track record here.
So we know
we see a pattern.
So Everton recently have I mean, this is always sort of how they've played.
This is Sean Dyche ball right here.
And it's they have no interest in maintaining possession.
Like,
the ball
is cooties. Everyone remember that.
The ball. Put that on a t-shirt.
Yo,
okay.
We don't want it, bro.
Get it away from me.
It stinks.
And so there's a sort of like look, obviously they're playing with some level of confidence and urgency in the fact that
but also feels like remember when the 115 charges came out or 114 I forget what it is against Man City comes out, they go undefeated after that. Pep Guardiola got something, but like you're an underdog now.
Yeah.
Even though we just keep winning and we're the, you know, the richest team in the world.
Even though you cost $4 billion to sign, right? We're the underdogs.
Right. Even though we're buying, even though we're giving Erling Haaland a Cleveland a week in pay.
How many Clevelands is this guy worth?
Bro,
he's got a lot of Clevelands.
He's got a lot of Clevelands, bro.
My man is the GDP of Cleveland.
100%. Bro, even though that, we're underdogs.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone pick up your free Bentleys. But then after that,
We're underdogs.
I think if that happened to Chelsea, they just lose the next 40 games. Yeah. Like, oh, whatever.
If they told Chelsea, we're giving you 10 points, Chelsea's like, and I'm going to lose. I don't care how many you get.
Todd Boehly would just throw it out the window.
Todd Boehly's like, yo, what if we buy negative points?
There's just something happening with these players that are...
It's the same thing that happened. Once the 10-point deduction, Sean Dyche now has something to say... This is the bulletin board material. This is the thing.
He said,
they never believed in us.
He said,
it's impossible is an opinion.
Sean Dyche dropped it, bro.
Sean Dyche. Impossible. He with that raspy voice is, bro. It's an opinion. He said it in Spanish, bro.
There's just something going on with these players. They just, Dwight McNeil yesterday, when he got passed, who did he get passed? Connor Gallagher?
It was either Connor. It might have been Reese James, honestly.
No, I think it was Connor Gallagher. But there's just, I'm like, yo, where are these? Where are the Jets? He's turning hit turbo. Not even that fast a dude.
Where are you getting this boost up?
And they just, look, Chelsea just couldn't figure anything out. And I want to give credit to Jared Branthwaite. He's the center back that was, I think he's like a homegrown guy. Been with Everton a while, and last year he was sent on loan to PSV. Mm-hmm. So, but he had played in some matches, like under Lampard and stuff like that. And he was, they tried to give him minutes, but he was kind of battling with like Ben Godfrey and Michael Keane. And he played in some games, and he's like a young kid, and he was just getting,
he was getting dusted.
He was getting dusted. Like, I mean, the Everton were also kind of struggling. But he
wasn't
helping. They sent him to PSV. I don't know what the hell happened in the Netherlands out there, bro. Because he became back a different guy.
Like, do me a favor, just hold on to this orb.
They gave him the Dutch orb,
bro.
And my man came back with a Dutch accent or something.
Yeah. He's all of a sudden. He's calling, you say Cruyff, he turns around. You're like, what happened out there, bro? I need to know.
Because he was remarkable. He had a mark, Broja.
Yeah.
Broja. Well, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Broja is not easy to cover, man.
He's
a big guy, and he's wily.
And Branthwaite, even I think at some point picked up kind of an injury and stayed in the game. Vitaly Mykolenko also was spectacular.
The thing is you've got players. I'm not a fan of the Sean Dyche style, but hey, ride this thing till the wheels fall off.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Well, my big question is, and I was talking to Christian about this before the show started, is like how much, like I'll give Everton a lot of credit, but like isn't a lot of the blame on Chelsea? Like when you watch these games, how many open chances does Chelsea miss 1-on-1? How many chances
does
Nico Jackson?
When you say the open blame is on Chelsea, are you saying Chelsea as an organization, Chelsea the players, or are you essentially saying Mauricio Pochettino?
I think it falls on all three. I think Todd Boehly has overspent on players. Moises Caicedo has not looked like he's worth $100 million.
We have a team complaining about overspending on players. Isn't that absolutely insane? Yo, you bought us too much.
If they're not good, bro, we saved Arsenal from Mudrick.
Mad bullets. Caicedo as well, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Everton have literally overspent and have been penalized. and this is the result that we get in a match like this.
But the penalization should just be continue to be Chelsea. Because it seems like they can't get out of their own way. Jeff Shreves on the morning show said it's a collection of players. This isn't a team.
Exactly.
And it's very much that. It's like, bro, like I don't even know where to begin. Mauricio Pochettino is like supposed to be good at this.
Yeah. And what was it? The last game where Pochettino after the match?
This game. He said, like, we need to make smart purchases in the transfer window.
I didn't see that.
We can't.
In the last game, Chelsea just lost their last game, right? Yeah. If I'm not mistaken. And he was it Tottenham?
No, Manchester United.
And he was, he kind of did the thing of, like, like no cause for concern.
We played well. We got unlucky. It's like all this stuff.
And
we've been hearing this for 3 years. Since Thomas Tuchel got sacked, this has been the weekly conversation amongst Chelsea fans. It's like, we have no vision. We are not going.
There's
in
no identity.
There's no direction. Yeah. There's no identity. It's just Todd Boehly splashing the cash whenever he feels like a player's worth all this money, and they never turn out well.
Bro, it's like you know what he puts together an ultimate team, and he's like, yo, I don't know how to play FIFA.
Literally, that's what it is.
Oh, I don't own a controller.
Oh, my bad.
That's why. I've been sitting here using my iPhone.
I bought all these coins, though. Yeah, I'm just trying to get some good
Look
players.
At all these tickets I got from the arcade. What am I supposed to do with this? My whole thing is they still have, like, players in, like, all getting changed in the hallway.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's still too many players. They have their squad's too big. Maybe it's time for addition by subtraction. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But we tried that last year, too. Think of all the guys that Chelsea
and
sold.
You
Kai
still
Havertz.
Got a bloated squad, dog. Yeah,
it's true.
We need some PEMDAS out of here. Yo, okay, please PEMDAS. Excuse my dear Aunt Sally to fix this club. So, it's...
Do what's in the parentheses first.
Weirdly enough, look, Cole Palmer looks like he's the best player
He's been
at
the
Chelsea.
Only good player.
He's very good.
Shouts to Financial Fair Play, because that's the only reason you were able to buy them for $40 million. City was like, we got to sell one of our 83 Bentleys? All right, fine.
If they caught Everton on something, they're definitely going to get us.
They set a trial date for like 2058.
Yeah. So a shocking result, even for Everton fans. I mean, I couldn't believe this three-game win streak already out of the relegation zone. Luton Town also... Everton fans a little scared because they scored first against Manchester
Luton
City.
Luton Town looking good. It wasn't just... As soon as that happened, I was like, all right, the allegations are off Arsenal. Like, finally, all right? It wasn't just us.
So a wild match. And obviously, Everton are out.
We got to give credit to...
4 points ahead.
We got to give credit to Aston Villa. What an incredible run they've had. 15 wins straight at home.
Yes.
It's great, right? 15 wins or 15 games undefeated at home?
I think it was 15. No, games undefeated.
I mean, absolute bananas. Look, I'm an Arsenal supporter. You guys know that, right? I'm a big fan of Arsenal. I love watching them play. I did not enjoy this one as much. I think we played better than Aston Villa. I think the numbers bear out. I just think, once again, bro, they had one good chance. They spun our center back. Took a shot, it went in, and then they got exactly the game state they wanted, which is just like, yo, we up one, we gonna lock it down. And Arsenal, for as much as they had possession, and look, you could scroll down, we had more shots on target, we had a better XG, and we did nothing with any
of it. 38-62 possession stats.
Damn, is this broken? Is this what's up, broken? Everything 38-62?
It's always the same everywhere.
By the way, buy a scratch off right now, or buy a lotto ticket with 38-62. I mean, big chances missed is the only thing we lose on.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, we're winning. It's absolutely incredible to watch this game and to know and get that feeling of, like, we might not get this one late again, you know? And I think this goes to show that Arsenal just need a slightly different setup up top.
Well, it was the handball that took it away, right? Havertz could have scored
Time. By the way, I don't know if you saw, Matty Cash hit it first with his hand. I don't know how that's not a penalty.
I thought that was a weird call. I didn't agree with that call at all. I thought the goal should have stood for Arsenal.
I was so frustrated watching that. I was also frustrated with the Gabriel Jesus getting kicked and should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
There was a couple odd calls. But I feel like focusing on that takes away from, we had opportunities. You see right there, four big chances. How many did Aston Villa have? Zero. We had opportunities. I don't think this was Martin Odegaard's best game. There were some things that have to be worked on. But if I'm watching this, and the thing I take away from it is, this was a cool moment for Unai Emery.
Mm-hmm.
This was a cool moment for him, for all the shit he took when he was Arsenal manager and the good evening stuff and he looks like Dracula and all that. He still does, you know? But all the crap he took, yo, he bodied him. Arsenal went into Aston Villa. The last match they lost at home was 15 matches ago. It was against Arsenal. And for Arsenal to go back to Villa Park and not be able to squeak one away like they did last time was, I think, exceptional for Unai Emery. Congratulations to him. And, yo, Aston Villa look legit. They look, if you know, have you ever heard of the Table of Justice?
No.
So FC Michelin, you know who they are, right?
Yeah, yeah. Where do they play?
Denmark.
Denmark. Mm-hmm. They don't follow the table. Within the club. I mean, obviously, they're not going to lift a trophy. They're going to be like, yo, we got a parade popping up. Everybody show up. And they're like, dude, you're in third.
They have something called the Table of Justice, and this is all they really care about. This is how they monitor their coaches. This is by they don't care about the standings or the table. For them, they have something called Table of Justice, and it's just non-penalty XG.
Okay.
So non-penalty XG, where are you on that? If you're top of the table, then we're having a good season. If you're mid-table or not. If you look at Arsenal, best team defensively. They one of the best teams offensively. So on and so forth. The thing they're suffering is non-penalty XG. They're about seventh place. And that just goes to show that in front of goal, we're just not being efficient. We're not being clinical in front of goal. And I think it's going to bite Arsenal in the ass sometimes. And this is one of those times where it bit us in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a wild season so far. It's a little bit more unexpected than we expected. Liverpool are in first place at the moment.
They look great. They look really good. They look really good.
Yeah, they look great. They won. Who did they beat? They beat Crystal Palace, after going down one.
Yeah.
An impressive
win. By the way, Chris Richards now starting as a defensive midfielder. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that. Yeah, first match. He looked good.
No. I think this is his third match.
Oh, third, really?
Oh, wow. Okay. We'll see how that works out. I mean, you hate to see them. They lost in that.
Roy Hodgson getting tactically flexible in his mid-90s. Bro.
Right?
I mean, Crystal Palace are having a rough season so far. I mean, only one point in the last five. So not great. And then next up, they have Manchester City. So,
Jesus.
But the other, just real quick, the results I just wanted to point out because they were absolutely insane. Fulham against West Ham.
Bro.
What the hell happened to West Ham in that game?
West Ham put money on Fulham?
Five.
Did you host a watch party for this game? Because 5-0.
I hosted a funeral for this game, bro.
Oh, damn. This was the repass, bro.
This is insane. How is West Ham? There's no way a result like this can be like tolerated. This is crazy.
When was the last time when you look on FotMob that you've seen the ratings in red?
Bro, I didn't even know they had that color.
Right?
Out
there. Damn, what Panasonic is that? They had to buy the right to use this for this match alone. Kurt Zuma, Sufal, I can't remember his first name.
When your goalkeeper has the worst rating on the pitch,
Lucas Fabianski, what were you, turned around?
Not a great sign.
How old is Lucas Fabianski?
He's only like 32.
He's not that old. 38!
Yeah, oh, man. You guys are wrong. He's been around, bro.
Damn, goals prevented minus 0.98. Damn, bro. You went to catch where you slapped it in.
He just threw the ball in the back of the net.
He just kept the hands open like, God, right, bro. He hit him with the NFL touchdown logo. That's what you did. My guy said, yo, you good, bro.
Okay. Shocking. I didn't get to watch this game. I saw the goal. I saw Raul Jimenez's goal because,
you're Mexican.
I am Mexican.
Yeah.
No, but like, you know, those, when CONCACAF players thrive, you know, mm-hmm. we see it on our feed a little bit more. Jimenez got his second game with a goal. Right before we started recording, I showed you the goal that he scored against Nottingham Forest. My man just bodied the defender,
yeah.
a little stiff arm, sent him,
gave him the Heisman,
sent him into the third row of the stand. Bro. I couldn't believe that.
Sent him out the frame of the shot.
I couldn't believe that was allowed, but hey, it is what it is. A nice little tussle for the ball, and then he did that back heel. So it's good to see him with some confidence. He scored a goal in this game. I believe it's his first headed goal since he clashed with David Luiz, mm-hmm. and I mean, it was a terrible, terrible injury. So it's good to see just his confidence coming back because we Mexico needs anybody to score some goals.
Meanwhile, Santi Jimenez continuing to score in Eredivisie.
Yeah,
not in Feyenoord,
he can't score for them in the Mexican shirt. Sure. But so they need all the help they can get. And then the other one, Tottenham against Newcastle.
Newcastle.
So another shocking.
Newcastle can't play away from home, dog.
But they can't play away from home. But I know they're dealing with some injuries and stuff. But this was another game where a lot of missed opportunities. Isak had he had a great chance that he missed. There was one where Ben Davies slightly touched the ball and just sent it off, and it ended up hitting Isak's shin. For it would have been an absolute tap in. But
Richarlison starting centrally,
finally scoring.
You see his first goal, not with his first goal with his feet since joining Tottenham. Yeah. That was the statistic.
How
I saw.
Crazy is that?
It just, yeah, I mean, it just says a lot. It sounds like nobody wants to pass it to his feet. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, bro,
we don't trust your feet, dog.
I know this. You can only use your feet in this sport, but we don't know how you got here, dog.
Fam, how you still here is the question. But son, back to the left where he, you know, he played again when he was with Kane.
It sounds like JFK getting shot. Back
to the left. I mean, if you are Newcastle, there might have been someone on the grassy knoll. Because y'all look dusty out there, especially Trippier, bro. Literally putting the trip in Trippier, bro. Nightmare.
Well, he had the bad game against Everton.
Yo, the highlight should have had the sound whoop, 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 whoop. He was skating backwards, bro.
Wild to see a team like this make these errors. Yeah, just kind of shocking. Newcastle,
they just can't win on the road.
It wasn't supposed to be like this.
I feel like they're so inconsistent, though, even in Champions League, too. Like, they're not winning consistently.
Who's Tottenham have next?
Tottenham next up. Who are they playing? Where do I see that?
Yeah, just click on Tottenham. Look. Yeah, I'm wondering who they have next. Cause
Nottingham Forest.
Away.
And who's after that?
Yeah, after that, it is.
Bro, okay, next up is Everton.
Everton. Oh, okay, I mean, they could be up for a tough one. Hey, what's his face back in goal for Nottingham
Forest?
Yes,
Matt Turner. After Nottingham Forest gave up 5 goals the other day, they ended up with a draw, Matt Turner. So you would hope Matt Turner.
Come on, that's the point.
Yeah, dude. Better than your other guy.
You're welcome, bro. That's from America.
Don't you dare bench Matt Turner ever again, bro. Don't you dare.
All right. Okay. Well, you back to minus points, dog.
So, wild weekend in the Premier League. And we have to talk about La Liga, because La Liga has another surprising leader.
CFG.
CFG.
Let's go. City CFG. Football Group owned, but definitely not funded.
they don't got the roster.
No, Girona getting the crumbs, dog. But, yo, they're like, no, we good with this. We'll make a meal out of this.
Right. So, Girona's in first place right now.
This is a Cuban sandwich. They took leftovers and put it together. And okay.
But they are in first place. They just played Barcelona.
Remember they were saying about Girona, like, wait till they play the tough team. They are the tough team.
Yeah.
They are the one. Barca, wait till Barca plays the tough team in Girona, because they body Barca, bro, 4-2.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even close.
But look at even, you know, you could say, you know, we're in halfway through the season. You know, the schedule might have been a little bit more favorable for them. But just look at, like, the goal differential. They're sitting on the same goal differential as Atletico. They have 6 more than Barcelona. 7 more than Real Sociedad.
Who's balling, by the way. Right. Real Sociedad is an incredible, yo, that. But Kubo Takefuso Kubo. Yeah. What an incredible player.
Oh, I love hearing his interviews.
Oh, yeah?
Because he speaks Spanish. He speaks Spanish really, really well. I mean, a lot of people are always just like so impressed at how well, like, he speaks Spanish.
Hola!
Yeah.
And he's like,
a little bit better than Gareth Bale.
He's
okay?
Like, hola, ¿qué tal? Why are you screaming?
So, but the game, their game against Barcelona, they won 4-2, and
no, Girona is.
This is not the Camp Nou. This is the temporary.
Yeah, the temporary stadium. But still, I mean, that's an away game, the biggest derby you're going to face Catalan. I think they said the entire population of the town of Girona fits in the Camp Nou when it gets finished.
Right, right.
Damn, bro, the whole squad can show up, bro.
Yeah, if you live in Girona, you are in the supporters group.
You got a seat. It don't matter, bro.
You can't.
In fact, whatever car's stuck in traffic, you too, you got it.
As soon as you're born, they put a little scarf around your neck, bro.
Yeah, you goody.
You part of the family.
So for Girona to go there and just body him. And, yo, the squad is made up of people that no one else wanted, dog.
Damn, bro. Just the scraps.
Bro, an orphanage, dog.
They're like the island of misfit toys in that league.
Facts, bro. Miguel Gutierrez was a Real kid who they didn't want him. They booted him.
Yeah.
The only player you might remember is Daley Blind. He's like the only player, or maybe Stuani.
Yeah, Christian Stuani, Premier League.
Played at Manchester United. He was just recently at PSV. Where was Blind at? Or Ajax. He went back to Ajax.
Maybe click on. It was Gutierrez. Dude, they got this kid, Alex Garcia, I believe it is. Click on number 14. I want to make sure.
Yeah.
Alex Garcia.
dude, he's 26. This kid is like the new Pirlo.
Okay.
He's pinging people left and right from that almost like regista libero position. I mean, the style of play is exciting.
Yeah.
It is exciting. He literally said it's Wilfred Nancy-esque. It's just everybody Ange-ball-esque.
And I think this is where we can give credit to, you know, the CFG system.
The scouting system.
The scouting system. And just, you know, I don't know exactly what particular analytics they look for when they're trying to sign a player. But
hey, what column on this spreadsheet are you looking at?
But clearly,
how do you sort this?
It's one of those things where the analytics department is they're doing their good work because it is
is an XG based team
because it's taking players no one's really kind of heard of too much and finding the ways for them to work together in the best capacity as opposed to, you know, the Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Yeah, but Florentino Perez, the only stats he's pulling up is bank account.
Because he's like, yo, how many Instagram followers you got? That's how I'm basing.
Damn, give me XF, your expected followers.
Because they have a business that they are running and they have to market and they have to sell kits and shirts.
They are a big business.
Yes.
Girona is not a big business.
No, they're a
plucky startup.
They're out here to win.
But they got good funding. Even
last year with Tati Castellanos, they sold Tati to Lazio. and he was doing great there. And he was battling with Stuani to even just get.
Didn't he score four against Real Madrid?
He did score four against Real Madrid. Bodied him, bro. And so
he's not doing well at Lazio, by the way. He needs to go to another XG team.
Yeah. I mean, he has a tough time getting minutes. He has Ciro Immobile in front of him.
Yeah, but when he gets in, he doesn't look good. Yeah, but that's besides the point. Girona is one of the most exciting teams. If you haven't watched one of their games, I suggest you do. It is high flying. I mean, this game was practically basketball. Yeah. It was back it was and back forth and back and forth.
But and it's not easy to make these Barcelona defenders look as bad as they did.
I don't know how Rafinha finished with a 7.7 score. He's like demonstrably one of the worst players on the pitch.
Jules Koundé.
He was.
I didn't even understand.
I honestly think he was hiding a Nintendo Switch in his shorts. I don't think he was paying attention.
I couldn't believe
he looked at... guy's playing League of Legends or something.
But, I mean, these Koundé, Araujo, great defenders, and Girona made them look really, really, really bad.
How did Gundogan end up man of the match?
Yeah, that's remarkable because he got one goal.
Yeah, he got the goal.
That's a goal. Yeah, well, they were four on the other team.
It's kind of a dude. This is rigged, bro.
100%. Scroll down. If it says 38-62, I'm out.
Oh, as far as possession, yeah. What's the possession?
Thank God.
It was 53-47. But even that's impressive for he don't have to do that.
And I know Barca ended with a higher XG. They were getting opportunities. They were making strong. Look at this 3.74. It's flipped.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have scored. They really should have scored more. They were terrible in front of goal. And Robert Lewandowski got his goal. Again, Rafinha was trash. I don't know how that happened. But their whole back line. Bro, I've never seen center backs so far apart.
It was crazy.
I'm like, bro, none of you be wearing deodorant? What's going on out there?
So watch Girona this season. They are looking great. They've been genuinely really fun
electric.
To watch.
They are electric.
And it's nice to see a not Barcelona, not Real Madrid, not
Atletico Madrid,
in first place. So hopefully, you know, CFG is mixing it up a little bit, making some of these leagues not as dominant.
You know who owns Girona? Who? Besides, CFG is part owner. They own 43%.
Okay.
You know who also owns 43%?
Who?
Pep Guardiola's brother.
Ooh. Fascinating. Mm. Okay. Bro, so I guess I'm sure he's giving, a little late night phone calls. helpful. Give him some good advice.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. The last thing we'll just wrap up with. Speaking of teams that we usually don't expect to see in first place, Bayer Leverkusen. In first place.
Bro, Xabi Alonso, even though he kind of got outplayed by Stuttgart, bro.
Stuttgart have been really, really good this
Seb
year.
Seb
Hoeneß.
Well. What a name. Hoeneß.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, we all had a phase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The essence of Hoeneß.
Okay.
Bro, he, by the way, while I say this, look up the official name of Luxembourg real quick.
The official name of Luxembourg.
Yeah, just look up Luxembourg, the official name of Luxembourg. But, bro, Xabi Alonso is the one who's like, getting all the buzz, man. He's got the heat on him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Seb Honus is like, none of y'all talking about me, but you about to.
Okay.
Yo, bodied him. Did you find it?
Yeah, actually, I did find it. I'm looking.
It says it looks second to last line in that paragraph.
The Grand Duchy.
The national language of the Luxembourgish people and of the...
French and German?
No, look, no. Just above that. And of the... Grand?
And of the Grand Duchy?
Uh-huh.
It's Duchy.
Or Duchy?
Duchy.
Of Luxembourg.
Is it Duchy?
Yeah, like Duchess, a Duke. That's what it means.
But in French, it'd be Duchy.
Maybe. Maybe.
Right? Because I said this on live TV.
The Grand Duchy. Okay.
I never knew that.
Okay. Well, salute the Grand Duchy when you see him, all right?
I mean, how big is it? Yeah, it seems painful. The Grand Duchy of Luxembourg.
So, yes, but Leverkusen's currently in first place in Bundesliga, up 4 points.
Completely undefeated.
Yeah, this is pretty remarkable.
They're the only team in the top five undefeated.
Yeah, and Xabi Alonso is the manager. And now already I saw some video that kind of went viral of a British pundit kind of saying that that the next manager of Manchester United should be Xabi Alonso. And everybody laughed in this man's face.
Because he said you have to give him Saudi money.
Okay.
This was one of those guys, like was. Graham and Keys or whatever those guys. Yeah, the guys that got like canceled in England, but they're like in Doha. it's like these two British guys do a TV show in Doha. It's on BN, I think, the show.
Okay.
I think it's also on BN. But yeah, he said, how would you fix Manchester United? And he's like, all right, Eric Ten Hag.
And give him 3 years. I know he said that.
Yeah, you have to guarantee him 3 years.
Yeah.
You throw Saudi money at Xabi Alonso and guarantee him 3 years. Because that's apparently, this is the rumor. So most people don't realize, like, Sir Alex Ferguson, when he started, his first 5 years were a little rough.
Yeah.
Not exactly the best. But apparently he was guaranteed his first 5 years.
Mm.
That's the rumor. There's no way to, like, prove that. But he's saying do the same thing, but with Xabi Alonso.
Yeah.
But Xabi Alonso was like, first of all, he was like a Liverpool guy.
It's also strange.
No, he's going to coach Real Madrid next year, isn't he? I thought that was the rumor.
Okay, nothing's official. I've been saying... That, you know, Ancelotti's
going to Brazil.
And he's like, no, none of this is official. It's just Brazil saying it. Brazil's like, no, it's cool. Paperwork signed. Don't look in there, bro. It's good. So no one knows for sure if Xabi Alonso is going to go to Real Madrid. All we know is Ancelotti's done after the season at Real Madrid. As far as anyone is concerned, there's no contract after this season.
Right. I don't know what... the move to Manchester United, and I think this is why a lot of people are highlighting, the fact that he is a Liverpool guy. And it's also, why would he walk into that mess? Why would he choose to do that to
his
life?
The only reason is if you give him Saudi money. But then also, I have a feeling that even if it's not official yet, Real Madrid is going to want you.
Yeah, it's a frustrating thing because Manchester United are not a terrible club. They're not... You know, they're not last in the table. They're not exceptionally bad.
They're 6 points away from City.
But they're just, they're the New York Yankees of like the media scrutiny. That you get more attention than usual than playing for any other club. Look at with Jadon Sancho. Look at just all these, the terrible things that happen off the pitch.
Doing okay at Manchester United, media-wise, is akin to being in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. It's a difficult scenario.
Think about Everton was floating above the relegation zone and in it for most of the last two seasons. They've never had this negative attention put on them.
Evertonians are like generally kind of frustrated and upset with their club.
Right.
But they're like, but we back the players. This is Manchester United is just... The players themselves get so much scrutiny.
Manchester United fans are like, F these mans, bro.
Yeah, well, it's like, yo, Rashford, he went to a nightclub after the Manchester Derby, after the loss in Manchester Derby, and people are like, he doesn't love this club. He doesn't care about this club. And
no,
it's just
the
like,
toxicity is
It's just
crazy.
Like, bro, my man lost, and that what he has to be, also, like, let him crying in a cold shower? Yeah. Like, what?
Just at home listening to the dubstep or whatever they're doing in the club in England, in Manchester?
It's just such a wild thing. So it's difficult. It's just like, why would you fathom if it's not like a former Manchester United guy that played in those glory years? Who would want to go and walk into
have
that?
Have you heard any of those guys?
they don't speak glowingly about the club either. Okay. Wild week. So shout out to everybody for tuning in.
Especially
to another.
If you live in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg.
So I heard it's a great this time of year.
Yeah. Very clean afterwards.
Okay, that's important.
It's important.
So everybody, shout out. Thank you so much for tuning in. Just a couple quick notes before we wrap up.
Very pH balanced.
Patreon.com/soccercooligans. Join for access to exclusive content. But also, we're going to be doing a Cooligans virtual holiday party. Yeah. That's going to be happening soon. We're confirming the date. We'll have the confirmed date by Thursday. But everybody within our Patreon/Gully Squad is voting on when we're going to do that. It's going to be sometime next week. So if you want to join us for the holiday party. We're also, you never know who's going to show up. Yeah. We've done these Zoom calls and we had some great, great surprises.
Anything could happen.
And some fun friends come through. So join if you want to be a part of that holiday party. So patreon.com/soccercooligans. And as always, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, subscribe, tell a friend. Shout out to everybody in DC. A bunch of people came to the Bundesliga watch party.
Just everyone I saw this weekend that also said how much they love Cooligans. Also, we keep getting messages about us being in their Spotify Wrapped.
Yes.
So thank you.
So thank you so much for that. We got a couple top ones.
Damn.
So y'all
top two, not two.
y'all are the real heroes. So we appreciate it. So we're gonna obviously be doing a few more episodes till the end of the year.
Yeah, big guest on Thursday. If you're a Metal Arc fan, we got David Sampson in studio.
David Sampson, my man, was the president of the Marlins.
Former president of the Marlins.
And
how many execs have we had on the show? Okay.
So if you got some business questions for David Sampson.
Yo, what's up with that stupid fish, bro?
That's a great first question. We already got it locked down.
I got that one. Think of a different one.
So it's going to be interesting because we'll talk to him about the business of soccer and sports.
Talking to him about the business, bro.
Because, we know my man.
And he's a businessman. He don't care about... He got zero emotion.
My man is a staunch capitalist. Yeah, all right? We're going to talk about all of it.
He's here by the bottom line. You feel me?
So they're going to be dope. So make sure you tune in on Thursday.
He said he likes BBLs, big bottom lines.
Wow. But that was one of them.
Wolf Nazi bars, bro. He said he's all about them BBLs, bro.
Can't wait to repeat that to him on Thursday. All right. We'll see you then, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys. Buddy.